Berman, and that is, first of all, number one is that your tax forms have been emailed to you a couple weeks ago. I forgot to say this. And so if you did not get them via email and you need them, let me know. I can print them off and bring them next week, or I can re-email them to you as well. Also, next week on the table out there, we'll have our 2023 financial report. Good news. Everything's been good. Everything's great. But we'll have that out on there for you to see as well. The other announcement I wanted to make is, other two actually announcements, is on March 23rd, our Easter egg hunt here, we're up to, what, like 1,100 eggs or something like that now, I think? Yeah, we have, is that enough? Is that what you asked? Wow, okay, well, if someone wants to donate plastic eggs, we'll take more, we'll fill them up. No, we don't need any more, we're good? Yeah. Yeah. If you want to donate candy, we're still taking candy. It has to fit in a plastic egg, of course. We'll be doing that here out in the front yard. Pray that the weather is good. Nothing like doing an Easter egg hunt in the middle of a snowstorm. So we would prefer not to be out there in the snow, but we'd prefer to be out there in sunshine like we had this past week. And so immediately following Easter egg hunt, what we're going to ask is if you would like to stay. We would love to have dinner together with all of you, everyone from the congregation. We're not opening this up to the public. Public is definitely invited to the Easter egg hunt, and if they want to stay for the dinner, that'll be fine. We'll have plenty of food too. But what we're asking is a couple things. Number one is that if you want to bring a dish to share, we would love for you to do that, as Miss Tanya loves to call it, our pot yuck, right? Not potluck, but no, I'm kidding. It's good. Bring something to share. And then also, we are having that day, we have an ongoing kind of contest amongst a few of the men here, and I want to open this up to anyone else. We all like to smoke meats in a smoker, and so we will be having a smoked pulled pork contest. And so if you'd like to join that and be part of that contest, we'd love you to join to see myself or Corey or Jeremy. We can give you details on how to do that. But basically, we'll have a whole bunch of pulled pork, and you can choose which one is a favorite, and we'll have the congregation vote on that. And so we'll finally put the rest up. Pastor smokes the best pulled pork. But I'm kidding. No. I've tasted Corey's and I've tasted Jeremy's, and they're both really good. I think I'm in trouble, but that's okay. But would love to have you join with us on that day, too. That'll be so much fun. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The last few weeks, we have been doing this series of sermons called Better Choices Equal a Better You. This week, I had a few people ask me, what's behind the doors? I don't know what's behind the doors. That's just an image. So you pick the door color you like, and you can make it. You make the choice what's behind the door, right? What's behind this door, Chaz? I feel like Bob Barker, right? You know? What's that?
Money Hall.
Money?
Monty Hall.
Oh, Monty Hall. Okay, yeah. I don't.
Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, Let's Make a Deal. I'm sorry. I'm not a game show person, sorry. So he's giving me this look like, oh, man, come on, seriously? But we've been looking at better choices equal better you. Now, listen, the simple thing is this. Is if we make better choices to follow God, then we can have a better life. See, the problem that most Christians and most people actually have in this is that we make poor choices. Poor choices lead to poor situations, and poor situations lead to poor life. It's something I used to tell my son all the time. It's not what you say, it's how you say it, right? Oftentimes what you say is very good. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's truthful, but if you say it in a loving manner, it comes across a lot easier. It's also, if you make right choices, you're going to have a better life. Listen, if you make choices that are condemning to yourself and others around you, you're going to find yourself in condemning situations. It's just simply that. We've talked about many different things. We've talked about consistency, and we've talked about just all kinds of different things and how we can be not only making better choices, but then how can we be consistent in those choices that we're making. Today we come to this word that I absolutely 100% love, and that's called perseverance. I hope I spelled that right. I think I did. Lena, did I spell that right? I did, right? Yeah. Please tell me I did, because if it's too late if I didn't. But then it's correct. If you can't see it, it's correct. So that's that works. All right. The word perseverance. What does the word perseverance mean? The word perseverance means that I'm going to continue going regardless of what comes against me. As a young man, I was taught this word at a very, very young age. My father taught me this lesson, and I hated this lesson growing up. I will tell you that it was one of the worst things I ever had to live with. My father set me down when I think when I was just barely out of diapers. No, I wasn't 17, Chad, okay? I was younger than that. But my father set me down and said, son, anything that you start, you have to finish. You're not allowed to quit, is what he used to say. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how much you dislike it. If you started something, you finish it. And that was beat into my head as a young child for many years. Well, I didn't think much of it. You know, I played sports. I played baseball. I wasn't really that good, but I played baseball. But I liked it. You know, I got to hang out with some friends. Never thought about quitting that. Played soccer like that. Never thought about quitting that. It wasn't until my fifth grade year that I really found out that I hated this word perseverance, and I hated that lesson that my father taught me. First day of fifth grade school, I thought, I'm going to play band. I'm going to be in the band. I was so excited about being in band. My sister was in band. Both my sisters were in band. They loved it. My sister was, my oldest sister, was a percussionist. She was a star percussionist. She still is to this day. She plays steel drums and does beautifully at playing drums and all of these things. But I wanted so bad to play the trumpet. And so I walked in. Trumpet or saxophone, those are the two that I wanted to play. And so I walked into the band director, and the band director looks at me. He says, so, did you pick up your drum set? And I said, drum set? I said, I don't want to play drums. I want to play trumpet. And he goes, oh, Jason, you don't have the right mouth for that. I said, you haven't even looked at my mouth. What do you mean? You haven't given me a chance to even try. You haven't done anything. He goes, I know, but he goes, listen, you can't play trumpet, you can't play saxophone, you can't play any of those other instruments, you have to play percussion. I was so sad. I was so upset. He never even gave me a chance. He immediately told me what I was going to play, and I walked out of there knowing that it wasn't because I couldn't play the trumpet or I couldn't play the saxophone. I was walking out of there because my sister was his star student, and she was a percussionist, and guess what? I had to follow in her footsteps. Hated it. So I went home that day and I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I know you tell me I'm not allowed to quit something when I first start. It's only been one day. We haven't even had a practice yet. We haven't done anything. So I'm just going to quietly quit band and I'll do something else. And he said, son, I taught you a lesson when you were young and that lesson still applies today. When you start something, you finish something. And I told him, I said, this is going to be the worst year of my life. And he goes, well, congratulations, then, because you'll make it through at the end of your life. So for a year, I spent in band hating every single moment of it. I got called out for many different things. At our Christmas concert, I was so excited about not being there at the Christmas. I was so excited about being at the Christmas concert that I started a song on the bass drum a whole measure early. If you ever heard someone play that big bass drum, go boom, boom. When you start a measure early, and the whole band goes, oops. Listen, the truth of the matter is that today there is a world full of quitters. Doesn't take us very long, doesn't take you very long to look around you and see that oftentimes as soon as the wind starts to blow in a difficult situation, people quit. Today, for example, do you know that today that the average divorce rate in America is somewhere near 55 to 60%? Over half of the marriages that are started in the world today, in the United States, I should say today, end in divorce. Now, you would think that Christians would be better, right? We'd have a better percentage of that. We're not. In fact, we're just slightly below the average. I think the average is 55%, 56%. The Christian church is 54%. 54% of Christian marriages that start today end in a divorce. That bugs me. That really does. And I started thinking about this. I'm like, why are so many people abandoning marriages? And it's because, listen, simply the truth of the matter is that we make it too easy to quit. There are legitimate reasons to quit things, and there are times that we have to be very careful. But for most of everything else that you deal with and you think about, we should not look at quitting. We end marriages, we end family, we end friendships, we end all commitments because we have little idea what it means to persevere. We have little idea what it means to continue. One of my favorite movies is Rocky. Anyone watch Rocky? The first Rocky, by the way. I know not like the 34th, 4th Rocky, our daughter's dog is named Roxy. But the first Rocky, I almost did it again. The first Rocky movie, do you remember when, I can't remember, what's the trainer's name? He was the old trainer. What's his name? Mick. Rocky is being beaten to a pulp. And He's about ready to die in the middle of the ring, and Mick has this towel. He's getting ready to throw the towel in, and Rocky looks on and says, "Don't you dare throw that towel in! Don't you dare throw that towel in!" And he doesn't. He perseveres, and guess what? Rocky ends up winning, and because of the perseverance of Rocky and because of the perseverance of Mickey, we get the wonderful few minutes later where Rocky goes, "Yo, Adrian!" Right? Without perseverance, we would have never had that movie line, and my life would have been somehow less than what it was before. So, no, the truth of the matter is, though, is perseverance is very important. We must learn to persevere. If you look at Scripture over and over and over again, every story that's in Scripture starts with someone persevering through something very difficult. If it wasn't for perseverance, Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross and none of us would have been here having this conversation. Jesus persevered. Now listen, he persevered. Here he is, God on earth, right? That's what Jesus was. He's the Son of the Holy God. He's the one here. He is part of the Trinity. He's here on this earth. And he's praying in the garden, "Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this." And yet he perseveres and does it anyway. And because of his perseverance, we can celebrate eternity in heaven with him someday. Every story you find in Scripture, you will find perseverance. Today, I don't want to offend you. Well, maybe I do a little bit. But I don't want you to go away from here thinking that I don't care about you. I do. My encouragement as a pastor to you today is that you keep pushing on even when the pushing gets hard. Because life is going to throw you curveballs. Life is going to throw you things at you that you're not going to know what to do with. And it's going to be difficult. And it's going to be painful. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to do all of those things. But at the end of the day, we have to make a choice. Are we going to persevere or are we going to stop? Are we going to quit? I don't want to be known as a quitter. Amen. I want to keep moving forward. So let's make better choices by not quitting and persevering. If you have your Bibles, turn with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 29. But before we do, let's pause and pray and ask the Lord to be with us. Well, he's always with us, but let us. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your graciousness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power and your presence. We do want to speak the name of Jesus over our families. We do want to speak the name of Jesus over our lives. We do want to speak the name of Jesus over everything that we have today. So, Father, we ask you, help us to walk in that today. Even when the going gets difficult, Father, even when the going gets tough, may we persevere with you today. May we follow you. May we be guided by you. May we be where you are blessing today, Father. Lord, I pray that my words are not my own, but they're truly your words. And that, Holy Spirit, you would come and open our mind and our senses and everything that we need to have from you so that we can understand what you would be speaking to us through these scriptures today. Lord, may you be glorified and honored and praised in our midst today because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 29. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold exposure. And apart from these other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. These are words from Paul speaking. Now listen, I want to ask you a question. Let me jump back here real quick. Verse 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. I'm done. See you later. Five times. Do you know why they didn't beat him 40 times? They didn't beat him 40 times because they knew at the 40th time that kills the person. That would kill the person. And they knew that. They had this measurement. And this was, you know, how they found out that measurement is by doing this so many times. And so Paul says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Stoned means different than what it means today, just in case you're wondering, okay? We're not talking about the legal whatever that shouldn't be legal, but it is in Ohio today. But we're talking about actual stone. He was having stones being thrown at him. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I was adrift at sea. Can you imagine this? All of these things. Yeah, at some point, Paul has to be going up and saying, Lord, what are you doing to me? I'm following you. I had a cushy life. I had all of these wonderful things. I had the power. I had money. I had authority. I had all of these things. I leave all of that to come to you. And yet I have to go through 40 lashes five times. I have to be shipwrecked. I have to do all of these things. Paul has to be asking this question. Why? My question to Paul is, why didn't you just quit, Paul? And then he goes on frequent journeys in danger from the rivers, dangers from the robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from my false brothers. Everywhere Paul went, there was danger to him. If there was ever a character, if there was ever someone in the New Testament that perseverance, it was Paul. But he presses on. Paul continues to do this. Paul continues to press on because he is the model of perseverance. Paul is that model that says, I don't care what comes after me. I don't care what's going to happen to me. I have a goal. I have a purpose in mind. And he keeps his mind set on the goal. And he's going to continue moving forward. And he's going to continue doing all of these things. Could you imagine being imprisoned repeatedly, flogged, exposed to death again and again, receiving these 39 lashes five times, beaten with rods, pelted with stones, shipwrecked three times, all of these things. Paul is receiving all of these things, yet he continues to press on. We can learn from Paul, because he's the model. Paul had many opportunities to quit, but yet he didn't. We can learn some amazing things from Scripture. But over and over and over again, one of the lessons that we always learn from Scripture is perseverance. I'm hard-pressed to find a story in Scripture that doesn't deal with some type of perseverance. Perseverance is often that unspoken about thing, but it's this unspoken feeling that's inside of you, this unspoken feeling that's inside of people that keeps them just pushing on. Keep doing this thing, but it's something that we often don't talk about, but it's something that we should talk about more, because God wants you to persevere. God wants you to continue moving forward. He wants you to make the choice not to quit. See, some of us in this room may have faced very little of what Paul faced, but you're looking at this going, I should just quit. I should just give up. Throw my hands up in the air and walk away. The truth of the matter is that there's two things that happen when you quit. Number one, is that you never know how close you are to the edge. You never, not the edge of falling over, by the way. You never know when you're that close to the prize. Why have I? Listen, there's been many of times I thought about quitting and doing something else or quitting a project or quitting those things. And I just find myself, I'm like, what if I'm only a day away from the success? What if I'm only a day away from this beautiful prize and I quit that day before? That drives me nuts. That's what keeps me up at night. By the way, Doreen, he didn't mention to say that he's laying next to you thinking about all these things, but he has a beautiful location because he's laying next to his beautiful wife, right? So I'm helping you out, Jay. It's Valentine's Day on Wednesday. I'm giving you some words to say, okay?
I get it.
Thanks
for the
shout. You're welcome. But the truth of the matter is that we have to persevere. We have to go through. When we sit here, we can think about all these things, all these reasons to quit. But when we quit, what happens is that we don't know how close we are to the end, to the finish line, the beauty, the prize, if you will. The other thing that we see when we quit, what happens is that we no longer have a choice in the direction that we are going in that way when we quit. We are foregoing, we are forfeiting our any word, any ability to change the situation that we're in. When you quit and you walk away from that, you don't get to change anything. It will always remain that way. That's important because as we go forward in our life, if we quit on anything in our life, we're walking away from where we're at. Bad times are going to come, but what we do during those times is important. Do we throw in the towel when things get tough? Are you going to say, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward regardless of how hard the punches are thrown. Regardless of what comes after me or what comes towards me, what lashes I have to receive, I'm going to persevere. Revelation chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Could you imagine receiving this letter from God? Yeah, we always have this beautiful picture that God just has these most wonderful flowery things that he's going to tell us and these wonderful beauty and everything's going to be smelling like roses and everything's going to be okay. And God writes this letter and says, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Verse 2, "Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." What is he saying? What is God saying? They have not finished. The church in Sardis has not finished what God wanted them to do. And God is writing them a letter in Revelation saying, finish what you started. Don't stop. If you started something, then finish it. If you started this, the biggest issue that we face as Christians today is that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we quit. The going gets too tough. And we don't continue persevering. We don't continue to grow in our faith because trouble comes at us. Satan attacks us. He whispers things in our ears. And we just walk away. Maybe we don't walk away from church. Maybe we don't completely walk away from our faith. But we stop growing. We walk away from moving forward. We walk away from actually growing and persevering and trying to get closer to Christ because, quite honestly, it takes too much trouble. It's too much work. There's too much lashing, as Paul would say. But in Revelations, God says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." What is being told to us is that we must finish what we started. I love this quote from David Allen, Getting Things Done. It's a pretty good book if you ever want to read a book about finishing things and completing what you started to do. This is a good book. But he says, "Much of the stress that people feel doesn't come from having too much to do. It comes from not finishing what they've started." You think about that for a moment. The stress that we feel oftentimes, I know I get this, right? Inside, I can just feel, I started that project and it's not done yet. And it starts to build up inside of you. If we would just finish what we started, if we would just finish what the Lord has given to us, if we would just finish the project that we are working on. Listen, I have projects in my house. Don't ask my wife, by the way. Shh, close your ears. I have projects in my house I've been working on for years. Yeah. And it bugs me because every time Pat was kind enough to come help me put a new garage and a new door in my garage, a man door, and you know, we put that in what, 3-4 months ago, Pat, right? Every time I walk out of that garage, I have not yet finished a trim around that garage door. And every time I walk out that garage door, I'm like, dang it, I need to finish that trim, and I haven't done it. It's unfinished business that I need to take care of. The truth of the matter is that how much do you have in your life? How much unfinished business do you have with your faith? How much unfinished business do you have in your life that you have to take care of? It is generally starting something is much easier than finishing it. Have you ever noticed that? When you start a project, you get all of this excitement. You're so excited about starting this project. I'm going to do this great project. I'm going to do this great thing. And so we start it, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, somehow the excitement wanes. The attention span goes on to something else. And before you know it, that thing that you started is left unfinished. Because it's easier to do that. It's easier to say that I'm on a diet than to actually be on a diet. It's easier than saying I'm going to go to the gym every day and work out than actually going to the gym to work out. It's easier to say I'm not going to gossip than to open my mouth and gossip to the people next to me or my friends. It's easier to say that I'm going to read my scripture and become so closer to God and then not do it. See, the truth of the matter is we lie to ourselves every single day because we say we're going to start something, but we don't have the perseverance to finish off. We don't have the perseverance to push through and to do and finish what we started. It's one of the things that I often have a conversation with new followers. If you have followed Jesus Christ and you're relatively new in your faith, it's so exciting to see. Listen, if you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, meaning you accepted him and what he's did on the cross. If you're a new believer, it's so exciting to see that. I just love being around people that have just newly accepted Christ in their life. Why? Because they're so full of excitement. The world is at their hands and there's so many things to happen, right? Compared to others that have been Christians for a while, they're kind of jaded. We realize that the devil still attacks us. We realize that the street isn't lined with gold here, but it's lined with gold there. And we have this problem because we find this idea that we lose this mindset of finishing what we started. See, I want to ask you this question. What is your unfinished business? What do you or should you finish that you started? How about your faith? How's it going? Are you walking forward? Are you making progression towards Jesus? Are you making better steps with him? Or have you come into the proverbial brick wall and find yourself lacking or waning? Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Well, I'll read it to you. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians, and what he's saying is, let us not grow weary in doing good. See, there's a lot of times that I find, not only in Christians, but I find in the churches, and I find in church and ministry and all of those things, what you find often is that people grow weary in doing good. They're tired of being nice. Listen, we sometimes grow tired of just feeling like we're being sucker punched, right? I get it. I won't give it all away, but we went and saw The Chosen, episode 1 through 3 yesterday. It was wonderful, really, really wonderful. But one of the scenes in there, I love this. I love the if you've watched The Chosen before, there's this angst that's happening between Matthew the tax collector and Peter, right? There's this angst that's going on, and I love how they finished that off. I love they brought that to a beautiful picture of conclusion in one of these chapters, one of these episodes. But Jesus is speaking to Matthew, and he's telling Matthew that he must go and apologize to Peter for what he did. And Peter comes back to Jesus later and says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And Jesus, the wonderful phrase, 7 times 70, right? And Peter makes a comment. I just laughed during this comment. Peter made the comment in the episode that he says, if I counted up, if I added them all up, I could get to that number, right? How many times should we forgive the people around us? See, the reason why we quit a lot of times, I've seen too many people quit church because someone has upset them in the church. I really have. I've seen too many people quit their faith because they don't think that God answered their prayers. I see people quit marriages because their husband or wife said something mean to them. I've seen people walk out of friendships, lifelong friendships, because they had one fight. Why do we give up? Why do we quit so easily? Why are we as Christians should be the ones that don't quit? We should be the ones who are persevering. We should be the ones who are representing. Thank the Lord Jesus did not quit on us. He had every reason to, but he didn't. So there's some things that we can learn. Steps we can learn to persevere. The first one is what we talked about was finishing what you started. The next one we're going to talk about is take another step. See, somehow we believe that if it's not easy, then it's not right. Somehow we believe that the right thing, that when we do the right thing, it's just going to be easy. When you do the right thing, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. Sometimes the most correct thing that you could do is the most difficult thing that you'll ever do in your life. Sometimes we have to take the hard road because that is the right step. That is the right thing to do. Sometimes we have to say things that, out of love and correction with our friends. Sometimes we have to do and we have to take that step. Just because it's not easy doesn't mean that it's wrong. Sometimes, again, the greatest things that have ever been accomplished has been some of the most difficult things ever to do. Are you afraid to fail or afraid to quit? Many wonderful dreams, wonderful plans, marriages have failed because we don't have the power to persevere and we quit. We stop moving forward. We stop taking that next step. There was this many years ago when I was younger, I totally destroyed my knee. And I was on crutches for almost 2 years rebuilding my knee in high school. And I went through therapy and all of these things. And shortly after that, after I got out of therapy, I was able to, the doctors basically told me when I was growing up that I probably would have a hard time walking the rest of my life. Well, I wanted to prove them wrong, and so I went to therapy for 4 years, water therapy and other physical therapy, got myself up to a place. So when I was in college, I decided that I was going to do a 10K. For any of you those that don't know what a 10K is, that's 6.2 miles. I was told that I was not going to be able to walk, so I'm thinking, first of all, I'm not in the shape to do a 10K, but I thought, well, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. And so I began to run this 10K. Me and my best friend was going to do this. And so we started at the starting line. The gun sounds, we start running. We're about a quarter of the way through, and my best friend is nowhere to be found. He was off. He took off running. About halfway through the race, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to quit. I can't do this. There's no way. I'm not even halfway yet. I feel like my knee was killing me. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was dying. I'm asking myself, why does anyone do this for fun? About a little more than half of the way through the race, this more mature man than me comes running up next to me. He looked maybe to be in his 70s or 80s. And he's running, and he's not even breathing hard. And he wants to have a conversation with me. I can barely walk, or I can barely run, let alone talk with him. But he says to me, he goes, son, how you feeling? I said, I'm not feeling so good. And he's like, whatever you do, don't stop. Don't quit. Take another step. Don't focus on the finish line. Don't focus on how much you have left. Just focus on taking that next step. And then after that step, take another step. And after that step, take another step. I know it's hard. I know you don't feel good. I know your whole body is telling you to shut down, but don't do it. This older gentleman ran with me the rest of the race. As I came across the finish line, I looked up. My friend was there. And he walks over to me and he says, so, how was it? I said, thanks for abandoning me, by the way. And I said, well, I was going to quit. I said, I got to be honest with you, Heath. I was going to quit. I was going to just walk away. I wasn't going to do anymore. I was done. And this older gentleman came with me, and he ran with me. And I'm like, in fact, I'm going to go find him. And as I went to find him, he was nowhere to be found. And Heath goes, Jason, you ran across the finish line yourself. And I said, no, I didn't. There was an older man with me. And he ran with me the whole entire race, the second half of the race, encouraged me every step to take. Now, I don't know if that old man was an angel. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he got through the finish line and says, I'm out of here because this guy was so slow. I got other things to do. That could have been the case, too. But all I know is that I would have never finished that race if that man would not have been standing beside me saying, take another step. Don't stop. Don't quit. The way that we persevere, the way that we don't quit, is that we take another step. When you feel like quitting and you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like your marriage is done and there's no more, throw in, take another step. When you feel like your faith is done and you feel like you're so tired of dealing with all of this stuff and it's just too, take another step. Don't quit. Don't be known as a quitter. Don't quit on things. Take a step forward and persevere. That's what God is calling us to do. Again, remember that it's not always, the right way is not always the easiest way. Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 24. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourself know how I lived among you the whole time from that first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you that anything was profitable in teaching you in public from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of the repentance towards God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, knowing what will happen to me there. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know what Paul is saying? Listen, we read this in Bible study this past Thursday, and it struck. I had been preparing to share this here, but it just struck me. Paul, again, had every chance to quit. Paul is now saying, he's writing this letter, and he's writing this letter because he's saying goodbye. I'm no longer going to come. Later on, he says, I'm not going to be there. I'm not coming to you again. This is the end. Paul knows that he's going to Jerusalem and he's going to die in Jerusalem. But, but his goal is to finish. His goal is to finish what he has. And he says something that just totally struck me, and I hope it strikes you in the same way. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city and imprisonment that afflictions wait for me. How many of us would look at that and say, I'm not going there because the Holy Spirit's warning me that if I go there, I'm going to be imprisoned? How many of us as Christians would do exactly what Paul is saying and say, I know what the Holy Spirit's saying to me? It's not a warning. He's just telling me. See, today we would read this. If we were receiving the same information that Paul was saying, that's a warning, don't go there, stay away from there. But Paul says, no, I'm going forward because I want to finish what I have started. I'm going to finish what God has called me to do, and that is to preach in Jerusalem. Paul was you have to understand that Paul was a Roman soldier. And his job was to speak to the Gentiles. Those were the non-Jewish people at the time. And he went and did this amazing job in Asia, did all of these things. But his goal was always to get back to Rome so that he could speak to Caesar. That was his job. But by going to Rome, he would have to go through Jerusalem. And going to Jerusalem meant that he would probably be stoned to death because the Jews wanted him dead. They did not like what he was doing. But Paul says, I do not account my life any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus. See, the problem is the reason why we mostly quit is because we think of ourselves and we don't think of God enough. We quit on things because we think that any pain or any suffering or any problems that I face in this world is not okay. I wish I could sit here and tell you that following Jesus is going to be this wonderful, beautiful picture and everything's going to be okay. But that is so anti-biblical that I cannot share that with you. Is it the greatest thing that you'll ever do in your life? Absolutely it is. Is it the most wonderful thing? Is there so many wonderful blessings and so many wonderful things to have God with you? Yes. But does that mean that it's going to take away all of the pain and suffering of your life? No, it does not. We have to get past this point of saying that just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're going to face... There's persecution all around this world. Christians are dying. They're being beheaded in other countries. And we think that if the heat or the air conditioning is not turned up enough in our church, then we got to quit. We got to go somewhere else. I had a friend tell me, thank you, Lord, that our church is not this way. But I had a friend tell me that like a quarter of his church left because they changed the color of the carpet in the room. Could you imagine that? The problem that we face today in the world around us is that Christianity doesn't come without difficulties. Too often we have preached the message, and I can blame myself for this too. Too often I have preached a message that says, oh, there's a free cost of grace. Grace is free. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Yes, that is all true. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face trouble in your life. What it means, though, is that we have a Savior who walks with us. He's the one that we persevere. See, when Paul says, I do not account my life any value, what he's saying is that it's not me inside of me that I care about. It's Jesus inside of me that I care about. He was so laser focused on his mission and what Jesus was inside of him that he didn't care about the lashings. He didn't care about the pain. He didn't care about the shipwreck. He didn't care about all of those things. He was going forward to do what he was called to do. We must move forward in all of these things. The last step to persevering is remove quitting from your language and your thoughts. One of the things that I often say in marriage counseling to people is that, listen, if you're truly honest and wanting to repair your marriage and your time between each other, then the very first thing you have to do is ban the D word. That's not donuts, by the way.
That's right.
It's divorce. If you don't have the option to divorce, then what are you going to do? You're going to stick it out, right? If you don't have the option to quit, let's even move it away from marriage into just something else. If you remove quitting from your vocabulary, if you remove the word quit, and you start and you finish what you started, and quitting is not an option, what are you going to do? What other options do you have but to take another step and move forward? But when quitting is an option, when it's in the back of your head going, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll just quit. That's not healthy. We need to persevere and move forward. We need to remove quitting from our mindsets. We need to remove divorce from our marriage language. If you remove those things, I promise you, you can repair your life. You can repair your marriage. If quitting isn't an option, then the only option you have is to repair it. And to make that relationship better. If quitting is an option, then what are you going to do to make the situation you're in better? If quitting is the option of walking away from church, then what are you going to do? You're going to stick it out and you're going to make that situation where you're at better. See, the truth of the matter is that we have to learn to take that step forward and not shy away from trouble, pain, or even suffering. We stand firm in all of those things because we stand with Jesus. And we move forward. The beauty of all of this today is that if you live in Christ, you have no reason to quit. In fact, we do ourselves a disservice by quitting. Some of the toughest things and moments in time in my life was when Jesus was teaching me something that was very, very painful. The moments in time I'll never forget as a young man, I boldly lied to my parents. Straight out. I was 19 years old, and my parents asked me to do something. I did not do it. I came home, and I told my parents that I had done whatever they asked me to do. Later on, my father found out that that was a lie, and he approached me, and he said, son, he said, did you do what I asked you to do? And I said, I told you I did. And he goes, is that the truth? I said, no, it's not. When we lie to ourselves, when we lie to others, and we quit on things, and we don't do what God has called us to do, what we are really doing is hurting ourselves. When we quit, instead of standing firm and moving forward, we allow Satan and everyone else to win. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Today we have the Holy Spirit cheering us on. We have Jesus who's at the right hand of his Father, encouraging and praying and interceding for us. We have everything that we would ever need to persevere and to move forward. But the question is, are you willing to take that step? Are you willing to say, I'm not going to quit? I'm not going to give up on my faith. I'm not going to give up on addiction. I'm not going to give up on overcoming my addiction, I should say. I had to say that right, Pastor Jess, right? I'm not going to give up on whatever hobby that I'm doing. Whatever God has called you to do, don't give up. But most importantly, let's not give up on our faith. Now listen, I know this. We're entering in this Wednesday, we enter into the season of Lent. I grew up before I became a Christian, I grew up in the Catholic denomination, and Lent was a huge thing. And I always realized to me that Lent was all about what we had to give up, right? We always had to give up something for Lent, and it always drove me nuts. Why do I have to give up something? Gave up red meat on Fridays, do all of these things, you know, had to have fish fries and all those things. I hated fish, by the way, but we had to do all of these things. And I realized to myself, there's something about fasting. And if you want to fast during Lent, I would encourage you to do that. I personally will be fasting during the time of Lent. But it's not just that. To me, Lent is this 40 days of preparo before Jesus' birth is about something else. And I'm going to tie it in with today's sermon by saying this. Instead of giving something up, why don't you make a commitment to do something more? For example, I'm making a commitment to spend more time in prayer with the Lord during these next 40 days. I'm spending and making a commitment to read more scripture leading into these next 40 days. Why? Because there's too many opportunities in our life to walk away from things. There's not enough opportunity in our life to be encouraged to persevere and to move forward. So I ask you to join with me. Make a commitment today. How are you going to make that next step? How are you going to take that next step forward so you don't quit on something, that you continue growing forward? Because see, ultimately, all of this comes down to the simple fact. We are attempting to get closer to Jesus in everything that we do. Will you stand with me, please? I do not say this lightly or in passing. But I think one of the greatest characteristics that could ever be produced in a Christian is perseverance. I think when we persevere and we continue moving forward, regardless of what's thrown at us, what we are showing is that God is really God. That I'm not going to walk away from things that are tough because, you know what, my God is tougher than those things. What we really say when we quit is that, God, you're not strong enough to overcome the situation that I'm in. That's what we're really saying when we walk out on our faith, when we walk out on doing those things. So today, can I challenge you to make a commitment to take another step? Move forward just a little bit more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the amazing gift that you give to us and that your presence in our life. Father, if there's anyone here today and they have their thoughts of quitting on their faith, quitting on their recovery, quitting on whatever it might be that you're calling them to do, Father, may you speak to their heart today. May you encourage them, help them to overcome those ideas and to stay strong and persevere. Father, may we be like Paul, and regardless of what we face in this world around us, may we learn to persevere for you. Help us today to grow closer to you. Father, it starts with having a relationship with you. If there's someone here or watching at home online, it's as simply as giving their life to Christ. And what we say when we do that is in Romans 10, verse 9, it says, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that I believe in my heart, I repent, I turn away from my sin, and I make him King and Savior of my life. there's someone here today that's simply saying those words, do it today. But let me caution you, it's going to take some perseverance to be successful. You're going to face troubles in your life. And so, Father, I pray as we face those troubles, if we're here today, we've given our life to you, and you know the troubles we are facing, give us the strength, the encouragement, the boldness to make it through, to take that next step, to continue not quitting, but persevering as we grow closer to you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand. And everything around me has shaped me. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never would he fail now? We won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going back.
Is that true for you? Is it true that Jesus will never fail you? It is. I can guarantee you that it's true. But the question is, do you believe it? If you're here today and you're on the edge, you're on the verge of quitting and leaving your marriage, you're on the verge of quitting and leaving your faith, you're on the verge of just walking away because it's been too difficult, may I tell you, stop, don't do it. There are people here that love you and want to pray with you, as Jay said earlier. We would love to have an opportunity to pray with you, to encourage you, to walk with you, and just to encourage. Listen, we are here to say, take another step. Don't quit. I know it's been hard. I know the waves have been crashing and the wind has been blowing, and it seems like everything around us. I just want to say one more thing. I know I'm going a little bit long, but I just want to say this one last thing. Too often in this world that we live in, we reach a certain age and we think it's okay to quit and just walk away. Can I tell you, all of you more mature folk that are here than me, I'm trying to be as polite as I can, dude. Don't quit. You have so much to give to the world around you. You have so much to give to the people that are younger than you. Don't quit. We need you not to quit. We need you not to take a seat on the side and say, I'm done. I'm gonna slowly somehow waft into retirement. No, don't do that. The world around you, the community around you needs wise wisdom words that come from people who are mature in their lives. We need to hear from you. We need to know that you're there and learn from the experience that you have. If you're here today and you're younger, maybe you're less mature than those mature people. I'm not talking about wisdom and I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about strictly age. Please don't quit. I know the world around us is so messed up. I know the world around us doesn't make sense. I know it's difficult. And I know it seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket really quickly. But if we quit, if you quit, what happens is that the people around you aren't going to see what Jesus can do. Won't see the miracle of Jesus coming down and picking you up and saying, you're going to get through this. They'll miss out on that. They'll miss out on the opportunity to see what God can do in your life and in others around you. So don't quit. Keep pressing forward. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on, because that's what he wants to do. Father, we thank you so much for how wonderful and beautiful you are. We thank you that you call us to this life of ministry here on this earth, and that you don't leave us alone. And even when the waves are crashing and the storms are blowing, you're right beside us, ready to calm the seas, to stand on the stern of that boat, to look out on those waves and say, be still. That is what you promise us, Lord. We're so thankful for that. And all we have to do is not quit. Keep taking that next step. Keep moving forward. Help us to be those people today, Father. Help us to be the ones that you've called us to be. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. If you have any prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you. Please feel free to come forward.